I was asked by George to come to lunch at Universal, and he said, how would you like to do the second Star Wars? We had no title for it at that point. And I said, gee, George, I don't think so. It's a phenomenal hit as a picture. A second one can only be a second one. It can't be as good, because the first one is the breakthrough. And I told my agent about the meeting, and he said, are you crazy? Do it! I felt I needed humor in the picture, and yet I couldn't have gags. I felt I needed a love story, and yet I couldn't have a lot of smooching and kissing and all that stuff. And it had to all be more implied. I knew I needed something powerful going on inside Luke's soul. And he really carries the picture, of course. So I didn't know quite how I was going to do this. The film had to do something that the first didn't have to do. The first one sets it all up. It throws everything into your face. Now, the second one can't top the first one in terms of action. That's not the purpose. The second one is to develop the story. The film is pretty fast moving, but it's the people. The people are a little more important.
One of the shots of Empire Strikes Back is one of the ones that I still kind of amazed that I managed to figure out. And it's a scene when you're flying over the ice planet and you look down and there's the Tauntaun running across the ground. Now that breaks every rule of special effects that should ever be done. And what we came up with was a way of plotting the motion of the Tauntaun so that every frame at a time, so that we could layer it into that background in optical printing, and it would look like it fit. And that idea of breaking up shots into components where the human mind could figure out just this part, now we can figure out just this part, it's led to a lot of other work being done the same way.
I finished my circle. I don't pick up any life readings.
There's enough life on this ice cube to fill a space cruiser. Sensors are placed. I'm coming back. What's up?
Well, I finished my circle. I don't pick up any life readings.
There isn't enough life on this ice cube to fill a space cruiser. Sensors are placed. I'm going back.
Right, I'll see you shortly. There's a meteorite that hit the ground near here. I want to check it out. It won't take long. Steady. Hey, steady, girl.
Hey, what's the matter?
You smell something? Hey, steady, girl.
Hey, what's the matter?
You smell something?
Up a little bit. That's it. How's that? Sport.
Good food, isn't it?
Take it back to us.
We try with her.
Who's Brian's wardrobe? That's for the snow.
How am I going to be attached to
that? A little while.
Yeah. Just assume the gun came out as well.
Doing the bumper stuff.
Yes.
Well, Des, it's our big scene together.
Are you dragging me by my arm or my leg?
Leg.
Oh, great.
Be a left leg.
No sign of life out there, General. Sensors are in place. You'll know if anything comes around.
Commander Skywalker reported in yet?
No, he's checking out a meteorite that hit there.
With all the meteor activity in this system, it's going to be difficult to spot approaching ships.
General, I gotta leave. I can't stay anymore.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, there's a price on my head. If I don't pay off Jabba the Hutt, I'm a dead man.
A death mark's not an easy thing to live with. You're a good fighter, Solo. I hate to lose you.
Thank you, General. Well, Your Highness, guess this is it.
That's right.
Don't get all mushy on me. So long, Princess.
I think she's more, maybe, fallible, more easily flustered, more ingenuous. Because as she hasn't probably dated that much, she's coming, there's the, you know, the romantic element. I mean, she, as I would say, she'd probably be used to fighting alongside men, rather with men, with a sort of, you know, romantic tension existing there.
Yes, you're a great help to us. You're a natural leader.
No, that's not it. Come on. Come on.
You're imagining things.
Am I? Then why are you following me? Fredo's gonna leave without giving you a goodbye kiss?
I just assumed it was a Wookiee.
I can arrange that.
You can use a good kiss.
I didn't ask you to turn on the thermal heater. I merely commented that it was freezing in the princess's chamber. But it's supposed to be freezing. Aren't we going to dry out all her clothes? I really don't know. Go switch off.
Why do you take this apart now? I'm trying to get us out of here and you pull both of these excuses.
I mean, it's not the most comfortable way of walking around, but I decided it looked funnier if it was what I call a kind of Japanese shuttle. And it just developed, actually.
I don't know where he is.
I don't know where he is.
Nobody knows where he is.
What do you mean nobody knows?
Well, you
said... Deck officer!
Excuse me, sir. Might I...
Yes, sir.
You know where Commander Skywalker is?
I haven't seen him. It's possible he came in through the south entrance.
It's possible. Why don't you go find out? It's getting dark out here.
Yes, sir.
Excuse me, sir. Might I inquire what's going on?
Why not?
Impossible, man. Come along, Arthur. Let's find Princess Leia. Between ourselves, I think Master Luke is in considerable danger.
I'm
Sir, Commander Skywalker hasn't come in the south entrance. He might have forgotten to check in.
Not likely. Are the speeders ready?
Not yet. We're having some trouble adapting into the cold.
We'll have to go out on Tauntaun.
Sir, the temperature's dropping too rapidly.
That's right. My friend's out in it.
I'll cover Section 12.
Your Tauntaun will freeze before you reach the first marker.
Then I'll see you in hell.
R2-D2, we had to re-engineer all the radio control and actually redesign the shell of R2. We built it in a composite epoxy resin fiberglass molded structure rather than aluminium, and then fitted everything inside that.
He'll be quite all right, you'll see. Stupid little short circuit.
We get to Norway, and I couldn't get out of the hotel to shoot because there was a wall of snow that was blown in that night. So we put the camera in the doorway of the hotel, going out the back door. The crew was all inside, toasty warm, and Mark had to go out into the snow and go running away from the ice creature. And we never left the doorway. And he froze to death, and we were fine.
Patrols are in.
Still no contact from Skywalker Solo.
Action!
Mistress Leia, R2 says he's been quite unable to pick up any signals, although he does admit that his own range is far too weak to abandon all hope.
Your Highness, there's nothing more we can do tonight. The shield doors must be closed. Close the doors.
Yes, sir.
R2 says the chances of survival are 725. 2-1. R2 has been known to make mistakes. From time to time. Dear, oh dear. Don't worry about Master Luke. I'm sure he'll be all right. He's quite clever, you know, for a human being.
Dagobah system.
Dagobah system?
There you will learn from Yoda, the Jedi Master who instructed me.
Ben!
We shot in Norway on a glacier, halfway between Bergen and Oslo. The average mean temperature was 26 below zero.
Don't do this, Luke. Come on, give me a sign here.
The first 4 or 5 days we shot no more than 15 feet from the hotel. We just had to go out the back door and point the camera away from the hotel. We were able to shoot because it was just white.
This may smell bad, kid.
Yoda.
But it'll keep you warm until I can get the shelter built.
Ben. Dagobah.
I thought they smelled bad on the outside.
White snow backgrounds. The speeders were a fairly light color. We had other objects going through as well, which were also light colored. And making mats to fit without showing any edges is always a difficult job to do. And we had to build a lot of new equipment to achieve that result.
Echo base.
Matting in those days against a bright background is very complicated. The problem with matting a blue screen ship against a white background or a snow background is that the black mat that you use to place your ship into the shot with has to be so dense, so black, that usually the mat lines start to show up tremendously. It actually expands as you make your mat blacker and blacker. So as you get your mat thin enough so there's no mat line, you can start to see through your ships.
This is Rope 2. I found them. Repeat, I found them.
Master Luke, sir, it's so good to see you fully functional again.
How you feeling, kid? Don't look so bad to me. He looks strong enough to pull the ears off a Gundark.
Thanks to you.
That's two you owe me, Junior. Well, your worship, looks like you managed to keep me around for a little while longer.
I had nothing to do with it. General Rykin thinks it's dangerous for any ships to leave the system until we've activated the energy field.
That's a good story. I think you just can't bear to let a gorgeous guy like me out of your sight.
I don't know where you get your delusions, laser brain.
Laugh it up, fuzzball. But you didn't see us alone in the South Passage. She expressed her true feelings for me.
What? Why, you stuck-up, half-witted, scruffy-looking nerf herder!
Who's scruffy-looking? You must have hit pretty close to the mark to get her all riled up like that, huh, kid?
Well, I guess you don't know everything about women yet.
Take it easy.
Excuse us, please.
Is only a fragment from a probe droid in the Hoth system, but it's the best lead we've had.
We have thousands of probe droids searching the galaxy. I want proof, not leads.
The visuals indicate life forms.
It could mean anything. If we followed up every lead,
but
we could...
sir, the Hoth system is supposed to be devoid of human forms.
You found something?
Yes, my lord.
That's it. The rebels are there.
My lord, there are so many uncharted settlements. It could be smugglers, it could
that
be...
That is the system. And I'm sure Skywalker is with them. Set your course for the Hoth system. General Veers, prepare your men.
General.
Princess, we have a visitor. He picked up something outside the base of Zone 12 moving east.
It's metal.
Then it couldn't be one of those creatures.
Could be a speeder, one of ours.
No. Wait, there's something very weak coming through.
Sir, I am fluent in 6 million forms of communication. This signal is not used by the Alliance. It could be an Imperial code.
It isn't friendly, whatever it is. Come on, Chewie, let's check it out.
Inroads 10 and 11 to Station 3-8.
Feet. Just show us your face. Keep coming, keep coming. Hold it there. Don't look at camera though, look to the right. I think we
do cut about here, so I don't think you're in any
group.
Okay.
I don't think
you're
very
better.
Are you good on that?
I am good. Sometimes.
was it?
Droid of some kind. I didn't hit it that hard. Must have had a self-destruct.
An Imperial probe droid.
It's a good bet the Empire knows we're here.
We better start the evacuation.
Group 7 and 10 will stay behind to fly the speeders. As soon as each transport is loaded, evacuation control will give clearance for immediate launch.
Right, sir.
Sir, it will take quite a while to evacuate the T-47s.
Well, forget the heavy equipment. There's plenty of time to get the smaller modules on.
I'm mostly excited because you see a real growth in the characters. I chose to play Luke in the first one in a specific, very innocent, very young style, so there would be a contrast, and I really feel that my character's paying off now, and then you will see a different set of characters in the third one because there is a progression.
Hi, kid. There's gotta be a reason.
Thank God Han Solo still calls me kid. Because it takes away the sort of curse of being this. And now I do have these responsibilities, and they're military. So I thought that was important in the sense that you see how much of what happens to Luke is preordained just by fate, by destiny, that his feelings about things, in another circumstance, he could have really put his allegiance to the Empire.
To the energy shield. Got to hold until all transports are away. Prepare for ground assault.
What is it, General?
My lord, the fleet has moved out of light speed. Comscan has detected an energy field protecting an area of the sixth planet of the Hoth system. The field is strong enough to deflect any bombardment.
The rebels are alerted to our presence. Admiral Ozzel came out of light speed too close to the system.
He felt surprised was wiser.
He is as clumsy as he is stupid. General, prepare your troops for a surface attack.
Yes, my lord.
I always remember my agent rang me and she said, look, you've just finished a movie and you've got a month out before you start this TV series. And they're making a sequel to that movie that came out a couple of years ago, which has proved fairly successful. And she said, I've read the part, and there's not a great deal to it, but as I say, it does fit in. And there is a rather good death.
All troop carriers will assemble at the north entrance.
My character was Luke Skywalker's tail gunner, firing a harpoon. I filmed for 4 weeks, and I was really joined at the hip to Mark Hamill. They expected to have me there for 2 days, so I was on a daily contract for a 2-day commitment, which extended for 4 weeks. There was a couple of shots of me in the crowds around Carrie Fisher when she was giving our pep talk. There was a little scene of when this was inside the hangar, so to speak, before the battle.
When you've gotten past the energy shield, proceed directly to the rendezvous point. Understood?
Yeah.
Good luck.
Hey, everybody to your stations, let's go!
Right.
Attackers are coming from over there, and you're shooting at them. There's explosions going on all around you. Okay? So go down the trench, and I'll come and give you some.
Your primary target will be the power generators. Prepare to open shield.
Sir, rebel ships are coming into our sector.
Good.
Our first catch of the day.
Stand by, ion control. Fire. The first transport is away. The first transport is away.
The first transport is away.
And there were some scenes where Luke is getting into the snowspeeder, and I say the line, which everybody identifies right now, I feel like I can take on the Empire all by myself. And then there are the battle scenes itself, which is the bulk of it. And those were the tricky things that were sort of fitted in and out between some of the other stuff that was being done.
This thing has got a bit of a kick to it, I think. So it's gone. You know that? That kind of thing.
Echo Station 3T8.
We spotted Imperial walkers.
Which are 40-foot giants. You can't see them if we map them on.
Snow speeders flying over the snow, and you're going across a landscape of snow, and then one snow speeder comes in, and another, and another, and another, flaps working, and then the shadows were animated in by the animation department here. So it gives you the sense they're a certain distance above the ground, and any layering of tricks like that to make you believe the models are in the shot, it helps.
All right, boys, keep tight now. Luke, I have no approach vector. I'm not set. Steady, Dak. Attack pattern Delta. Go now. All right, coming in. All right, coming in. Javi, you still with me?
Make the bloody thing work, yeah? Bang! That sort of thing. Okay. Good lad. It's you.
That armor's too strong for blasters. Rogue group.
The snowspeeder was rigged on a set of scaffolding on a track that was connected up to a forklift that would go back and forth where wires were connected, and so the thing moved and rocked as the result of the forklift going back and forth. You had heavy electricians that were picking up one part of the scaffolding under the snowspeeder and kind of rocking it, you know, in a different direction. So the combination of all of that gave you the motion.
And every once in a while, if the snowwalker had a pop or a jerk in the animation, instead of redoing the shot, they would have a laser blast hit it in the leg or wherever and make it look like it was injured or had a something give it a shot. So that was actually a very time-saving.
Yes, Lord Vader. I've reached the main power generators. The shield will be down in moments. You may start your landing.
So these flaps are on little stepping motors. The heads turn on little stepping motors. So when the formation flying is going on, you see the pilot's head turn around and actually look towards the other land speed of the cameras inside.
Set your harpoon. Follow me on the next pass. Coming around, rogue leader. Steady, rogue two.
And it sort of came clear to me when I watched when Wedge shoots his cable and zips around that big walking machine, and it starts to tear, and then it starts to go. The audience went, whoa, boom, yay. Well, there's that emotional attachment to the special effects. And without getting specific, we have seen now movies where the artistry in the special effects is just so dynamic, and you look at it and you're just left cold, and you say, why? And I can only think it's because they don't get you involved enough in the storyline so that it makes a difference.
Got him. I see it, Wedge. Good work.
There's that huge scene where the whole ice thing is collapsing, and I had to turn and say practically directly into camera and evacuate the rest of the ground patrol. And this was the first take, and I turned, and all these things were happening, and I knew the rest, and I turned and I went, and why Simon and Maverick?
Artu, you take good care of Master Luke now, understand? And do take good care of yourself. Oh dear, oh dear.
Truth will debark the ground assault. Prepare to target the main jet.
I did a lot of shots with the speeders themselves flying around, and we gave the look of the flying a little bit different quality compared to the X-Wings or the TIE ships. They looked like hovercraft, and they had those mechanical flaps that would rise and lower as it would do its turns, and we tried to use those to imply it was actually creating the reason why it would go into a bank or a maneuver around a walker.
Mark's plane gets shot down, and I get stepped on, and he goes off with his lightsaber to greater glory.
Yeah. Do it the other side. Just the part where you're clambering up. Starting now. That's it. That's it. Okay, set it up right here.
Okay. Face away from here.
All right.
We've got the gun. We've got the smoke. Open it.
The DAC that gets squashed is not the DAC that's talking to you now. He was a poor Norwegian extra. They did those exterior scenes actually before they worked with me. So that particular scene of where Luke goes in and tries to save DAC, if that's what he was trying to do, or retrieve his lightsaber, as the case may be, there's some question about that, was done in Norway on location in the real snow with a Norwegian extra.
Moving down to Camp Sherman.
Again, there was a lot of different techniques through the whole sequence. There's a large-scale leg piece that was used that was 2 feet in diameter for the scene where it almost steps on Luke as he's getting out of his snow speeder. So there was a large-scale snow speeder and a big foot set in the baking soda, and that would come down and crush this model. And then they used a portion of the plate where Mark runs away from his snow speeder. Nothing was in the shot. He just run away in a snowbank and then mat that over it.
Come on, that's it.
Give the evacuation code signal. And get to your transports.
Oh, wait for me.
Begin retreat.
Fall back.
Fall back.
Begin retreat.
At one time, there was like no decisions how to do any of this stuff. And all there were these wonderful color artworks that Ralph had done of the big walking machines. So we had to figure out how we're going to do this, and one of the thoughts was to make a robot. But my background is before Star Wars was really in stop-motion animation. And so I pushed to do it in stop-motion because they're machines anyway, and if they move sort of like a little staccato-like, it would just make them look more like machines. So we did it in stop-motion, and we did it with models that were as big as a person could animate, which is about the size that a person can get their hands in to move it frame at a time.
Thank you.
on Empire, we did a lot more field recording. We went out and recorded, tried to record something new and original for practically everything. And a lot more time was spent mixing in stereo. The Walkers were a lot of fun to work on because they were big mechanical beasts. And it was a pleasure sometimes to work on just big machinery rather than just voices. And we knew the Walkers were big and they were heavy and they were lumbering about. And because they were animated, they had a certain rhythmic walk to them. And so the objective was to come up with a sound for the Walkers to give them a real sense of mass and weight.
We begin the second one with yet another conflict with the Empire. But the story is really not so much about those conflicts in the second one as it is about the characters. There's more complication of the characters.
Come on, come on!
Switch over. Let's hope we don't have a burnout.
Someday you're going to be wrong, and I just hope I'm here to see it. Punch it. R2! Get her ready for takeoff. There's nothing wrong, R2. Just setting a new course.
I signed a contract for three films, and those three films would tell the complete story. So what we have in The Empire Strikes Back is a second act, and all the problems in a second act, that is, you can forward the storyline, but you really can't solve all of the loose ends, so to speak.
To give the scale to the Star Destroyer, we put a lot of the TIEs and the Millennium Falcon right in front of it, so you could really see how big that destroyer was behind it. Because there essentially were sort of three scales. There were the TIEs and the Falcon that you're kind of used to, the bigger Star Destroyer, and then you had on top of that the massive, massive Darth Vader ship. This was sort of fun here, the sequence where we're trying to show these ships so massive just barely being able to maneuver and turn around. And conceptually, it was difficult figuring out how to visualize this, but we came up with some neat angles looking up at it so you could get a sense of the Falcon falling down with the ties and up above seeing the near misses that were going on.
Prepare to make the jump to light speed.
But sir!
They're getting closer.
Oh yeah? Watch this.
They're getting closer.
Yeah? Watch this.
Watch what?
I think we're in trouble.
If I may say so, sir, I noticed earlier the hyperdrive motivator has been damaged. It's impossible to go to light speed.
We're in trouble.
Where's our booster?
Huh? Will be a damper?
Help! That's not it. Bring me the hydro spam.
How we're gonna get out of this one? That wasn't a laser blast. Something hit us.
Han, get up here.
Come on, Chewie.
Asteroids.
No. Chewie, set your 7-1.
What are you doing? You're not actually going into an asteroid field.
You're looking out and you're saying, oh my God, we're going into an asteroid field. And you're looking at a pole. And we all have an agreement on which pole and which edge of the pole.
3,720 to 1.
There's so much going on in the asteroid sequence that I deliberately shot a potato to put in those shots to see if anyone would ever know it was a potato. And luckily it got by George and Daly, so we went ahead and stuck it in some of the shots. And so if you look closely out there, you might see a potato flying by camera. Also, what I was doing was just trying to play around with visually what can an audience perceive in a situation like this. It was my own education. I wanted to know what I could get away with. And so some of the shots, I think they're the point of views looking out through the cockpit past Han and everybody as they're staring straight ahead. Some of those asteroids are potatoes. And so you had a huge model in the background for some of the shots. I'm specifically thinking of one shot I did where the Millennium Falcon races up at the start of one of the sequences and it does this barrel roll, just missing an asteroid as it comes by camera, and it dives down towards the large asteroid where it's trying to find escape from the TIE ships and all the bad guys. And there's just millions of rocks and planets and star fields and ships. The asteroid sequence is actually probably the most complicated sequence. There's so many different pieces, so many separate elements in them, not just you have a Millennium Falcon element with all of its rocket passes. You have the TIE ships with all of their rocket passes, and there's usually more than one of them, which makes it more complicated. And you have all these asteroids, which were models made out of some kind of plaster or something. They were styrofoam blocks with this built up on them. And they were, a lot of them were shot separately, not bunched together. We started bunching them together later and as we went along because we were running out of time.
I'm not picking up any cities or technology. Massive life form readings, though. There's something alive down there. Yes, I'm sure it's perfectly safe for droids. I know! All the scopes are dead. I can't see a thing. Just hang on. I'm gonna start the landing cycle.
Once the X-Wing has crashed in Dagobah, then I did some scenes where these strange sort of prehistoric-looking pterodactyl birds fly around. I did the shots of those puppets flying around and did the stop motion on those. Essentially, it was one puppet that Phil Tippett had made out of wire and rubber, and we put it in the same rough situation as a spaceship would have into these blue pylons mounted into it against a blue screen. I did a basic program of its move, but then I would go in every frame and animate its wings and tail and head. And then we printed it several times and did several versions of it and then put it in the shot more than once. Like there's two or three of these things flying around.
R2? R2!
are you? R2!
You be more careful. R2, that way.
You wouldn't want to fall in that pool. By the time you finish shooting, it's full of all sorts of wildlife and bugs. It was absolutely foul after all those weeks of being in there.
You don't taste very good.
Oh, no. Are you all right?
Come on.
You were lucky to get out of there.
Oh, no. Are you all right? Come on.
You were lucky to get out of there. Anything broken?
Hey, baby.
You're saying coming here was a bad idea. I'm beginning to agree with you. R2, what are we doing here? It's like something out of a dream, or I don't know. Maybe I'm just going crazy.
Yes, Admiral.
Our ships have sighted the Millennium Falcon, Lord, but it has entered an asteroid field and we cannot risk...
Asteroids do not concern me, Admiral. I want that ship, not excuses.
Yes, Lord.
I'm going to shut down everything but the emergency power systems.
Sir, I'm almost afraid to ask, but does that include shutting me down, too?
No, I need you to talk to the Falcon, find out what's wrong with the hyperdrive.
Sir, it's quite possible this asteroid is not entirely stable.
Not entirely stable? I'm glad you're here to tell us these things. Chewie, take the professor in the back and plug him into the hyperdrive.
Sometimes I just don't understand human behavior. After all, I've only tried to do my job in the best.
Let go. Go, please.
Don't get excited.
Captain, being held by you isn't quite enough to get me excited.
Sorry, sweetheart. I haven't got time for anything else.
Is find this Yoda, if he even exists. It's really a strange place to find a Jedi Master. This place gives me the creeps. Still,
Something familiar about this place. I don't know. I feel like...
Be like what?
Like we're being watched.
Oh, wait, put your weapon. I mean you no harm.
It was one of the more difficult things I've ever done in my life. It was extremely difficult because I would be working with three other people. So that means four of us trying to make one being come alive, and you had to really dissect and analyze every single movement, and then you had to rehearse and 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 then shoot. You rehearse so much that you hopefully you forget your mind and your body just understands what to do. So by the sheer repetitiveness of your actions.
Make one great.
It's a mechanical creature, basically. Some of the movement is done hydraulically, some of it's done mechanically, some of it's done direct human access, and then some of it is done by radio control device. It takes three or four people to operate Yoda, to bring him to life. And the reason we picked Frank Oz originally is not only because he was a puppeteer, but because he's a good actor, and we need the acting relationship with Mark, and also the sense of orchestrating all of the movement.
Oh, you're making a mess.
Or I will help you not.
I don't want your help. I want my lamp back. I'm gonna need it to get out of this slimy mud hole.
Mud hole? Slimy? My home this is.
The only thing I felt was that his language is a bit too casual. And I felt that he came from a more formal time. And as a result, the syntax I suggested would change a little bit to make it seem not of this earth, just to make it slightly different.
Stay and help you, I will. Find your friend?
I'm not looking for a friend. I'm looking for a Jedi Master.
Oh, Jedi Master? Yoda. You seek Yoda.
And with Yoda, it was the supreme test. I mean, I'm amazed when it's cut together, it really looked like we're carrying on a conversation, because it was done in so many different ways. You weren't sure whether this Yoda was a robot, or is this one a puppet, or is this one on strings? There were so many different ones. And there was a guy in a suit, not for the face, but in the long shot when he gestured with his flashlight. So there was a variety of ways they did it.
Where is R2 when I need him?
I did have a talk with George about the fact that R2 and 3PO got split up, but it allows you to, in this case, for 3PO to make a major bonding with Han Solo. Obviously, a couple destined to be together for the rest of their lives. That was interesting. That provided a new dramatic thing, working with Harrison, and you know he was very nice and very patient and understood the problems that one was going through and all that kind of thing. 3PO, sadly, didn't have a great role to play because it had been very complicated in the first one. So he was left out, and then Irving Kirshner just liked everything I did so much. He kept saying, be on the scene, you know, say something, anything. And so, you know, it didn't really have a purpose. I asked George in the third one if he could, you know, give 3PO something sensible to do. Made him king of the Ewoks, for heaven's sake.
So difficult sometimes.
I really do.
I think everybody's got a better role in the second picture because the characters have an opportunity to be more complicated. The relationships between them have a chance to be developed more fully. But if you hadn't had the first one and the simplicity of the characters in the first one, you wouldn't have been able to develop them the way they are now.
I like the sound of that.
Stop that.
We go gallivanting through the galaxy and get stuck in a space slug and in a lot of intergalactic warfare. And then we all get trapped, and it's a lot of running away again, and shooting, and kissing. It's true.
I happen to like nice men.
Nice men.
Very nice.
Sir, I've isolated the reverse power flux coupling.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're perfectly welcome, sir.
Vader was the last time they appeared in any of our scopes. Considering the amount of damage we've sustained, they must have been destroyed.
No, Captain. They're alive. I want every ship available to sweep the asteroid field until they are found.
Lord Vader.
Yes, Admiral, what is it?
The Emperor commands you to make contact with him.
Move the ship out of the asteroid field so that we can send a clear transmission.
Yes, my lord.
What is thy bidding, my master?
There is a great disturbance in the Force.
I have felt it.
We have a new enemy, Luke Skywalker.
Yes, my master.
He could destroy us.
He's just a boy. Obi-Wan can no longer help him.
The Force is strong with him. The son of Skywalker...
To create the hologram of the Emperor, we shot a person in makeup with his eye sockets blacked out. For some reason, George wanted to put some different, stranger eyes in the Emperor, and we wound up shooting a chimpanzee and then match-moving the eyes into the Emperor. And then that was, again, re-photographed off of a television screen to give it the look of a hologram. And that was true of all the hologram shots in there. They were images photographed on film and then re-photographed off of basically a television screen.
Look, I'm sure it's delicious. I just don't understand why we can't see Yoda now.
The damn snakes. I couldn't believe it. Kirsch would do that to me. I mean, the thing is, he didn't even see the damn snakes in the movie. I first got there in that little hut that he lives in Dagobah. Kirsch said, we're gonna put some snakes back there. I said, what? So here I am working, and there's this big mother anaconda 5 feet behind my back while I'm trying to perform. It is very nervous-making.
Yoda, not far. Patience.
The biography kind of, for me, I wrote for Yoda. It was about several pages, and it was only for me, not for the audience. It had a lot of specifics about what he liked to eat and how old he was, what he missed and things like that. But the thing that hits me most is I think he came from a more formal time. Because here he lives in Dagobah, this planet, by himself. I'm sure he had many friends. This guy's probably 800 years old. And somehow he wound up here because of the troubles all around the universe. And it sounds silly getting this, but as an actor, it's important to know. I do remember that I felt strongly that he was very wise. And he came from another time, a more formal time. And this wasn't his time. This was not his world.
Much anger in him. Like his father.
Was I any different when you taught me?
He's not ready.
Yoda. I am ready. Ben, I can be a Jedi. Ben, tell him I'm ready.
Ready, are you? What knows you ready? For 800 years have I trained Jedi. My own counsel will I keep on who is to be trained.
It was tremendously difficult physical work. The whole floor was about 3.5-4 feet high. So I could be underneath the floor. And then I would hold my hand up and through the hole or whatever. And I remember Kirsch was talking to me, but he wasn't talking to me. Sometimes talk to Yoda. I'm saying, Kirsch, I can't hear you. I'm down here under the floor. But the pressure was extreme because I was taking too much time. And the reason I was taking too much time is the first time this has ever been done. You know, I had somebody doing the cables for the ears and somebody else was doing the cables for the eyes and somebody was doing the left hand. So I had, you know, me and three other people trying to bring one character to life.
A Jedi must have the deepest commitment.
I was the only human being on the call sheet for months. It would say, actor Mark Hamill, part Luke. Props, snakes, lizards, robots, smoke machines, Gila monsters. Frank Oz and his crew were there, but they get buried down underneath the ground.
Jedi craves not.
I followed my feelings.
You are reckless.
So was I, if you remember.
He is too old.
Yes. Too old to begin the training.
But I've learned so much.
Will he finish what he begins?
I won't fail you. I'm not afraid.
Oh, you will be. You will be.
Sorry.
Problems.
On Empire, I shot a lot of gag footage. I don't know why. I kept doing stupid things, and usually it was in the slate or before the slate would happen or something like that. And I built my own space slug. That's right, the space slug. So I built my own out of an old sock and made a terrible, stupid-looking puppet. So there's a shot looking down that's in the movie where you're looking at the surface of the asteroid and there's a couple of TIE ships and it's flying overhead and you're looking straight down and there's some they're dropping some explosives and you can see them blowing up on the surface. What's not in there is the very last moment when you get to the last crater, this gigantic stupid sock puppet comes out and attacks one of the ships. But anyway, that was, it kept us, we were on the night shift, see, so we, in fact, we spent 9 months, six nights a week on Empire Strikes Back.
Watch out! It's all right. It's all right.
Yeah, what I thought. Minok.
Chewie, check the rest of the ship. Make sure they're no more attached. Chewing on the power cables.
Minoks.
Go on inside. We'll clean them off if there are any more.
Oh, that was a crew member with a Minok on a string. No, this is all leaning acting.
And I have to shout, you know, which way to go, so the camera knows which way to go opposite.
He says lean to the right. Oh, lean to the left. Together. And now, oh, lean to the right. It's like silent film.
All they're doing is throwing themselves around, according to my instruction. Same thing in the ship. Now, the difficulty was for a C-3PO to do this because he had limited movement. But there he got it.
You can't make the jump at my speed in this asteroid field.
Down, sweetheart, we're taking off.
No!
I see it.
We do.
The cave is collapsing.
This is no cave.
What?
It's a very, very, very physical role. I can't stress enough. 8 months before I started the film, more or less, I started taking classes 3 times a week. I took kendo, which is the Japanese sword play. I took fencing, karate, and I did a little bit of weightlifting.
Now, the dark path forever will dominate your destiny. Consume you, it will.
340E, take 2, aim B cameras.
The dark path forever will it dominate your destiny, consume you, it will, as it did Obi-Wan's apprentice.
Vader, is the dark side stronger?
No.
Well, the essential part of Yoda was that I felt it was critical that I get the very best actor to play the part, the very best puppeteer. to do it because obviously I was trying to make this into a real character, as a key character in the whole series. So I went to Jim Henson, who I knew, as far as I was concerned, was the very best puppeteer. He was extremely busy working on another project, but his sort of a co-puppeteer and significant player in the Henson organization was Frank Oz. And he recommended that Frank do it, talk to Frank, and he was interested. And so we started working with Frank early on. We had the designs, the sketches of the puppet, and we were starting to begin to get ready to build the puppet. So then he came in as soon as we started to build, and he helped technically evolve the puppet to a way where he could really act with it and, you know, in a very facile sort of way. But he created the voice, and it's his voice. I had, in the various versions of the screenplay, developed the dialogue, I mean, the way he spoke and the cadence and the sort of reverse speak that he has to make him, again, different but still understandable. That all evolved, and we constantly were working with changing things to get little touches in the way he would communicate a particular sentence. But it, you know, the key to Yoda is that there's a hugely talented actor behind him.
Now, when he chops the head off, we think this is really Darth Vader at this point. Now, you notice it's slightly slow motion, which makes it sort of unreal. And he looks into the helmet, and it's his own face, which means that he's facing himself. He is his own enemy.
Bounty hunters. We don't need that scum.
Yes, sir.
Those rebels won't escape us.
Sir, we have a priority signal from the Star Destroyer Avenger.
Right.
There will be a substantial reward for the one who finds the Millennium Falcon. You are free to use any methods necessary, but I want them alive. No disintegration.
As you wish.
Lord Vader. My lord, we have them.
Oh, thank goodness we're coming out of the asteroid field.
Let's get out of here. Ready for light speed? One, two, three!
Transfer circuits are working. It's not my fault.
No light speed.
It's not my fault.
tends to be more noticeable because he's so awful in this one. He's so irritating and keep at the moments of crisis, he keeps coming out with most stupid comments.
The odds of surviving a direct assault on an Imperial Star Destroyer.
Shut up!
Moving to attack position.
Shields up.
Track them. They may come around for another pass.
Captain Nida, the ship no longer appears on our scopes.
They can't have disappeared. No ship that small has a cloaking device.
Well, there's no trace of them, sir.
Captain, Lord Vader demands an update on the pursuit.
Get a shuttle ready. I shall assume full responsibility for losing them and apologize to Lord Vader. Meanwhile, continue to scan the area.
Yes, Captain Nida.
Use the Force. Yes. This dog.
For me, the Force is the power that everyone has that they usually don't use.
Nope. We'll never get it out now.
So certain are you. Always with you, it cannot be done. Do you nothing that I say?
Master, moving stones around is one thing. This is totally different.
No, no different. Only different in your mind. You must unlearn what you have learned.
All right, I'll give it a try.
No, try not. Do or do not. There is no try.
Well, the philosophy of put your all into something and don't just try, but actually, you know, envision yourself doing it and accomplishing it is a philosophy that has gone through all of my movies. It is something that I encountered, I think, first when I was in college. A lot of the students would give up on things before they really had a chance to explore them. I mean, they would convince themselves that it was not possible. For me, it was the whole issue of just getting to make movies. It was a completely impossible idea. There was no even remote consideration that it could actually happen. But I put my mind to it and never considered any other possibility. And it was through that that eventually I did manage to do the impossible. You know, I think it's only by considering the impossible that one can get to it. And you can't get to it by simply saying, I'm going to try to get to it. You simply have to say, I'm going to get to it.
And the powerful ally it is. Life creates it.
Well, the beginning of Yoda for me was through Jim Henson. We were shooting the Muppet movie in Los Angeles, and Gary Kurtz, producer, Empire Strikes Back, I believe, as Jim told me, approached Jim, asked how to do this. And Jim suggested me. And I remember Jim kind of took me in the trailer and talked to me about this. And he showed me this design, the sketch of Yoda. And sometimes you have to work hard for a character, really find the character. And sometimes it just happens. And I just looked at that and just kind of, it felt really right, just felt really good.
If I had an earpiece where I could hear,
oh, many years have you ever...
And then if you turned your head the wrong way, you'd pick up Radio 1, and it was the Rolling Stones singing Fool to Cry. I remember I reacted to that. I went, hey, I got the Stones. And Kirshner got cut. And he's way across the bog saying, you know, if that happens again, just pretend like you don't hear it, because with all the elements of that set, with the smoke, is the smoke good? You know, is the snake, poke the snake, get the snake to move. You know, he's just lying there. So you felt, let's get our priorities straight, you know, because I'm concerned about how did I come off in the scene. They were looking at everything but me.
one or two of the shots at the very end, or a few that I did, where the X-Wing is, again, shot against blue screen. We hung some little miniature gobbledygook-like swamp vines and grasses and things on the X-Wing and shot it so it had the action that implied that it was hovering over this sort of swampy, fog and shrouded pond. And then there's one wide shot where it's part pond, part matte painting that Ralph McQuarrie did, this model, and matted in Luke and R2-D2 and I think Yoda at the time. I think Yoda's in that shot.
Apology accepted, Captain Nida.
Lord Vader, our ships have completed their scan of the area and found nothing. If the Millennium Falcon went into light speed, it would be on the other side of the galaxy by now.
Alert all commands. Calculate every possible destination along the last known trajectory.
Yes, my lord. We'll find them.
Don't fail me again, Admiral.
Alert all commands. Deploy the fleet.
Captain Solo, this time you have gone too far. No, I will not be quiet, Chewbacca. Why doesn't anyone listen to me?
Fleet's beginning to break up. Go back and stand by the manual release for the landing claw.
I really don't see how that is going to help. Surrender is a perfectly acceptable alternative in extreme circumstances. The Empire may be gracious enough.
Thank you.
What do you have in mind for your next move?
Well, if they follow standard Imperial procedure, they'll dump their garbage before they go to light speed, and then we just float away.
The rest of the garbage. Then what?
Then we gotta find a safe port somewhere around here. Any ideas?
Where are we?
Anoad system.
Anoad system, there's not much there.
No. Oh, wait. This is interesting. Lando.
Lando system?
Lando's not a system. He's a man. Lando Calrissian. He's a card player, gambler, scoundrel. You'd like him.
Thanks.
Bespin, it's pretty far, but I think we can make it.
A mining colony?
Yeah, Tabana gas mine. Lando conned somebody out of it. We go back a long way, Lando and me.
Do you trust him?
No. Got no love for the Empire, I can tell you that. Here we go, Chewie. Stand by. Detach.
You have your moments. Not many of them, but you do have them.
I didn't want Yoda to sound like Miss Piggy. And there is a touch of, similarity between the two voices. It's, a completely different style, but it's the same voice, no matter how you get around it. And so I was a little concerned about that, and I wanted to use a different actor. But I've discovered over the years that, especially in terms of puppetry, the person that's actually acting the role is really into it, and they really can give a performance. And it's very hard for anybody else to duplicate that performance because it's like re-looping an actor. It has the same effect. So it wasn't really a matter of being used to the voice. It was really a matter of I couldn't find another actor who could perform it as well as Frank could.
When did you have there?
They were in pain.
It is the future, you see.
future.
Will they die?
Difficult to see. Always in motion is the future.
I've got to go to them.
Decide you must. How to serve them best. If you leave now, help them you could, but you will destroy all for which they have fought and suffered.
Have a landing permit. I'm trying to reach Lando Calrissian.
Hold on, wait a minute. Let me explain.
You will not deviate from your present course.
Rather touchy, aren't they?
I thought you knew this person.
No, I don't have a landing permit. I'm trying to reach Lando Calrissian.
Hold on, wait a minute. Let me explain.
Any aggressive move will not be tolerated.
Rather touchy, aren't they?
I thought you knew this person.
Well, that was a long time ago. I'm sure he's forgotten about that.
Permission granted to land on platform 327.
Thank you.
Permission granted to land on platform 327. Any deviation from...
Thank you. There's nothing to worry about.
We used a lot of background plates that Brian Johnson shot, sunset cloud pieces, that we would put in the Millennium Falcon so it would look like as if it was flying behind and in front of some of the cloud shapes. And we did some tricks where we would bring the ship up, just dissolve it on to the background to give the impression it was coming out of clouds and flying towards camera. It's joined by these strange orange ships that the people in Cloud City fly. And again, it's probably a model about, those are relatively small models, about a foot and a half wide, and the pods on them were probably only a foot long. And because of the soft lighting in Cloud City, we wound up having to shoot multiple passes, even on our color light passes, to get the soft light effect. Again, at that time, the problem was difficult to light with soft light, not have it get onto the blue screen and corrupt the blue screen matting effect. So I would shoot blue screen with a silhouette of a ship, then I would back the camera and the film up, and then I would shoot all the lighting against black so I could light it soft and get a nicer look to it. Oh, for digital compositing then. It would have been so easy.
Got a lot of guts coming here after what you pulled.
How you doing, you old pirate? So good to see you.
I never thought I'd get to see you again.
Well, he seems very friendly.
Yes, very friendly. What are you doing here?
Repairs. I thought you could help me out.
Trying to come up with a futuristic city for Empire Strikes Back, the floating city. I came up with round tubular buildings that had domes on the top, because if I made square buildings, they look just like the Black Tower at Universal Studio. If you make it round, it's the tower for the record company there in Hollywood. What seems to be different enough from the average city street in the world that we know, which is mostly square buildings. So I made them round, you know, mostly round, some sort of organic. There was a wonderful Saturday morning serial with Gene Autry, and he found this great otherworldly city that looked just like the one I did. It was done back in 1935. Cylindrical buildings, you know, with round tops. Different guy, but another designer who was presented with the same problem I was the one that did the Emerald City for The Wizard of Oz. And he came up with the same cylindrical buildings with the round tops, so he made them green, you know, it's the Emerald City. So we all came up with the same thing. We were all faced with the same problem. A city that doesn't look like an Earth city, but still looks like a city that you can recognize.
Oh, nice to see a familiar face.
Ichuta.
How rude. That sounds like an auto unit in there. I wonder if... Hello? Hello? How interesting.
Who are you?
Oh, my. Oh, how interesting.
Who are you?
Oh, my. I'm terribly sorry. I didn't mean to intrude. No, 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 please don't get up. Out of my head. They're my friends. I gotta help them.
You must not go.
But Han and Leia will die if I don't.
You don't know that. Even Yoda cannot see their fate.
But I can help them. I feel the Force.
But you cannot control it. This is a dangerous time for you, when you will be tempted by the dark side of the Force.
Yes, yes. To Obi-Wan, you listen. The cave. Remember your failure at the cave.
But I've learned so much since then. Master Yoda, I promise to return and finish what I've begun. You have my word.
It is you and your abilities the Emperor wants. That is why your friends are made to suffer.
That's why I have to go.
Luke, I don't want to lose you to the Emperor the way I lost Vader.
You won't.
Stop. They must be. On this all depends. Only a fully trained Jedi Knight, with the Force as his ally, will conquer Vader and his Emperor. If you end your training now...
If you choose the quick and easy path, as Vader did, you will become an agent of evil, and the galaxy will be plunged deeper into the abyss of hate and despair.
Are you standing right in front of the light?
Did you? Yeah! Didn't he bite me? He just took it was a little love nip.
I understand. R2, fire up the converters.
Luke, don't give in to hate. That leads to the dark side.
Strong is Vader. Mind what you have learned. Save you again.
I will. And I'll return. I promise.
Told you I did. Reckless is he. Now, matters are worse.
That boy is our last hope.
No. There is another.
Two or three more things and we're in great shape.
You look beautiful. You should wear girls' clothes all the time. Sit down. Come on, talk to me.
Action.
I hope Luke made it to the fleet all right.
I'm sure he's fine. He's probably sitting around wondering what we're up to right now.
You know, your friend Lando's very charming, but I don't trust him.
Trust him? He's an old friend of mine.
And slave.
The ship's almost finished. Two or three more things and we're in great shape.
The sooner the better. Something's wrong here. No one has seen or knows anything about 3PO. He's been gone too long to have gotten lost.
Relax. I'll talk to Lando, see what I can find out.
It starts out as a kind of triangle, and then I'm thrown together with Han Solo. Ends up being one of those relationships like Tracy and Hepburn or Bogart and Bacall, or Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers, where we scream at each other for the first half of the film, and step on each other and hit each other, and then we end up liking each other.
What happened?
Where? Found him in a junk pile.
Oh, what a mess. Chewie, you think you can repair him?
Lando's got people that can fix him.
No, thanks.
Sorry, am I interrupting anything?
Not really.
You look absolutely beautiful. You truly belong here with us among the clouds.
It's always interesting to create a character that has two, you know, it's a sort of dual character. You know, you're not quite sure about him, especially if he's cute. And I was really kind of cute.
So you see, since we're a small operation, we don't fall into the jurisdiction of the Empire.
So you're part of the Mining Guild then?
No, not actually. Our operation is small enough not to be noticed. Which is advantageous for everybody, since our customers are anxious to avoid attracting attention to themselves.
Aren't you afraid the Empire is going to find out about this little operation? Shut you down?
It's always been a danger, but it looms like a shadow over everything we've built here. But things have developed that'll ensure security. I've just made a deal that'll keep the Empire out of here forever.
We would be honored if you would join us.
I had no choice. They arrived right before you did. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, too.
No, 3PO's with them. Just hang on. We're almost there.
I went along. My half-brother was associate producer on the film, and all he did say, he said, look, he doesn't believe in nepotism. He said, there's nothing in the film, even if I could help you. He said, but there is, there's a few characters, might be a day, but your boys would love to see you as... So I went up for, I don't know what part it was, but something else, but I then went up and they said, well, can you put this outfit on? And it was as if a seamstress had made that flying suit for me.
You're being treated unfairly.
No.
Good. It would be unfortunate if I had to leave the garrison here.
This deal is getting worse all the time.
Oh, yes, that's very good. I like that. Oh! Something's not right because now I can't see. Oh, that's much better.
Fortunately, I like 3PO. I think he's quite a nice guy, but there are times that I would quite like to sort of get a sledgehammer to him and just slap him out.
I feel terrible.
Why are they doing this?
They never even asked me any questions.
Lando.
Get out of here, Lando.
Shut up and listen. The Vader's agreed to turn Leia and Chewie over to me.
Over to you?
They'll have to stay here, but at least they'll be safe.
What about Han?
Vader's giving him to the bounty hunter.
Vader wants us all dead.
Now, he doesn't want you at all. He's after somebody called Skywalker.
Luke.
Lord Vader set a trap for him.
And we're the bait.
Yeah, well, he's on his way.
Perfect. You fixed this all real good, didn't you? My friend.
Stop!
I've done all I can. I'm sorry I couldn't do better, but I got my own problems.
Yeah. You're a real hero.
You certainly have a way with people.
This facility is crude, but it should be adequate to freeze Skywalker for his journey to the Emperor.
Lord Vader, ship approaching, X-Wing class.
Good. Monitor Skywalker and allow him to land.
Lord Vader, we only use this facility for carbon freezing. You put him in there, it might kill him.
I do not want the Emperor's prize damaged. We will test it on Captain Solo.
I just think there's probably three reasons maybe for the popularity. Number one, the outfit is extraordinary. I mean, it's got all these gadgets on it, all these markings. What does that mean? People want to find out. Why doesn't he speak much? So the outfit is one. He answers Darth Vader back. Not many people do that and get away with it. So he gains respect for that. And then he captures Han Solo, briefly. He's got to be quite a tough guy. And also, there's a vulnerability about him. He's deadly, but he's... I don't think he's a nasty guy. I think something's switching him one way or the other. He's a bit like Han Solo, but it's just gone too much into the dark side.
Put it to carbon freeze.
What if he doesn't survive? He's worth a lot to me.
The Empire will compensate you if he dies. Put him in.
Vader, but what if he doesn't survive? He's worth a lot to me.
The Empire will compensate you for your loss. Put him in. Stop! Listen to me! Stop!
No, please! Oh,
hey! Listen to me, Chewie! Chewie, there's nothing you can do.
Princess, you have to take care of her.
You hear me? Huh?
I love you.
That's the script. The script says, I love you, and he says, I love you too. I said, yeah, it's such a cliche. It gives her the advantage. In other words, it was a character thing that bothered me. What would be a response to I love you? Harrison?
I know.
You got a laugh. And George was afraid it was a disturbing laugh. And that it unhinged the scene. And I remember sitting with him in a screening, which I was told was to test the audience reaction to that one line. And there was a laugh. But it was a laugh of recognition, and so I was very gratified.
What's going on? Turn around! Chewbacca, I can't see!
They've encased him in carbonite. He should be quite well protected. If he survived the freezing process, that is.
Well, Calrissian, did he survive?
Yes, he's alive. And in perfect hibernation.
I don't think of him as a bad guy, really. I think of him as a guy who's like a lot of people. You know, he's caught in a situation. Yeah, he's a rogue. He's a scoundrel. He's an adventurer. He's very much like Han Solo. The difference between him and Han Solo is that Han Solo, in a pinch, he uses his guns. This guy cons his way or talks his way out, which lends itself to a lot of humor.
Take the princess and the Wookiee to my ship.
You said they'd be left in the city under my supervision.
I am altering the deal. Pray I don't alter it any further. The Force is with you, young Skywalker. But you are not a Jedi yet.
Vader appears. It's now 1-1. There are no troopers. There's no one. The thing is, Vader belongs. The kid doesn't. Luke doesn't back away. He goes forward because he still feels he has power, and he has his sword.
You have terrible vision problems. Number one, they put darkened lenses in. And of course, because of the shape of the mask, you really can't see anything further than about sort of 10 feet in front of you on the floor. So your vision really starts at about 10 feet away, so you can't see steps and things in front of you. When we were doing the big fight sequence at the end, where we had to have more vision, we actually made another mask with a Perspex bottom so that you could actually see better, you know, down below.
Well done. I'll hold him in the security tower and keep it quiet. Move.
Think you're doing?
I'm getting out of here.
And you all alone. Had to be a mistake.
Do you think that after what you did to Han,
I have no choice. What are you doing? him, trust him, trust him.
Oh, we understand, don't we, Chief? He had no choice.
Just try it out.
We don't need any of your help. What?
It sounds like him.
Let's do a chance to save her. Platform.
Chewie.
I'm terribly sorry about all this. After all, he's only a Wookiee.
Put Captain Soul on the cargo hold.
The piece where I climb up into Slave One, when I say, put Captain Solo in the cargo hold. I always remember that line, and Irving Kershner saying, are you ready, Boba? I say, okay, action. Sorry, mask on. Put Captain Cargo in the Solo. I've said the wrong line, you see. But luckily, no one can hear what you're saying. But when it's dubbed on afterwards, it fits. So even with the few lines you have, you can make a mistake under the mask. And I got away with it.
Least bit of exertion, the eyepiece is messed up, and you have to stop everything and clean out the eyepieces and see where you're going. And I said in the big fight sequence at the end, you know, you'd walk through the set and then have to be led back by three people.
We see that the training has been pretty good. He does a quick somersault, get out of the way.
And when I read the script, I thought, well, this is ridiculous. I can't pull this off. I'm supposed to look like I'm like a major lightsaber expert. Every day that I had off, I came in. I would rehearse from around 10 in the morning till lunchtime. Take a long lunch till about 2 and then work from about 3 to 5. But that's every single day. There were times where I thought I forget overnight the moves. Because not only do you have to remember right flank, left flank, parry, and thrust, you have to make it look like it's just happening, you see. You can't make it look like it's been so carefully orchestrated. See, on the first film, I did every single stunt myself. There have been a couple where Collins Keeping had to do them. And frankly, I was more than happy to let him do them, because he was doing things like, you know, running and doing a cartwheel and flying out the window 30 feet onto boxes and so forth.
Tell the computer to override the security systems. Atu, hurry! Attention, this is Lando Calrissian. The Empire has taken control of the city. I advise everyone to leave before more Imperial troops arrive.
Don't blame me. I'm an interpreter. I'm not supposed to know a power socket from a computer terminal. Hyperdrive on the Millennium Falcon is fixed. Just open the door, you stupid lump! I never doubted you for a second. Wonderful! I thought that hairy beast would be the end of me. Of course I'd look better.
You see that Vader is stronger. Immediately, he drives the kid back. But is the kid afraid? No, the kid keeps fighting. And that's what's important about the scene. Now, he drives him out on the point where there is no return.
You are beaten. It is useless to resist. Don't let yourself be destroyed as Obi-Wan did. There is no escape. Don't make me destroy you. Luke, you do not yet realize your importance. You have only begun to discover your power. Join me, and I will complete your training. With our combined strength, we can end this destructive conflict and bring order to the galaxy.
I'll never join you!
This one, I thought, was deeper, darker, and, of course, at the end, we had all been defeated quite soundly.
What happened to your father?
He told me enough! He told me you killed him.
No. I am your father.
No. No. It's not true. That's impossible.
Search your feelings. You know it to be true.
No! No!
Somebody on set was obviously giving away information to the press. Everybody was paranoid about secrecy, and unfortunately, I got the blame for it. And so they sort of gave me false dialogue. I mean, I didn't know I was Luke Skywalker's father, not until I went to see the movie.
No, he's a sweet guy, but I think what happens, he saw the screening and he was just shocked. He goes, who would have believed that I was Luke's father? And he gets his hand chopped off, and you go, oh, God, I mean, that's before it even opened.
I did not want to believe that Darth was Luke's father, but that he's alive. Even though I thought he was lying, I had to make it as credible as I could when he said, I'm your father, Luke.
I dared and got away with Empire.
Because when we did that, everybody said, what are you going to do? How are you going to do it? First of all, there's no ending. Second of all, it's a kind of dark story. It's not at all like the first one. The first one's kind of funny. And I said, well, what the heck, you know? I want to do what I want to do, and that's ultimately the driving force. And so I did it, and I got away with it.
Someone's up there.
It's Luke. Chewie, slow down. Slow down and we'll get out of here. Nanda, open the top hatch. Okay. Easy, Chewie.
Taking characters, say the Obi-Wan character who most people felt they knew and who represented absolute purity of spirit and mind, you discover now that he has lied to me and that he's used me, possibly for his own gain, we don't know yet, but I mean my whole, everything that I believed in is shattered.
To beam in moments, Lord.
Did your men deactivate the hyperdrive on the Millennium Falcon?
Yes, my Lord.
Good. Prepare the boarding party and set your weapons.
At the end of Empire, there's the scene, and it's called the hospital ship, and Luke is getting repaired because he's had his battle with Darth and lost his hand. Now he gets the mechanical hand, and everyone is together once again, and you see a whole fleet of ships flying away. And we did a lot of blue screen ships, very complicated, strange shaped ships that had to be lit very specifically. A lot of work went into it. and we were done with the movie. It was terrific. And we got a cut of the movie, and we went into San Francisco, had a big rap party. It was great. We saw the movie, and it was exciting in our work. We were very proud of all the work everyone had done and put so many long hours into, and I was delighted. I was so happy to have been a part of it. And the film was about to come out. Great. I left on vacation, and I went to visit my folks down in L.A., and I get a phone call, and Patty Blau at ILM is telling me, George wants to add some more shots. And I said, that's funny. That's a good joke. It wasn't a joke. I wound up meeting Joe Johnston at what was called the Egg Company in L.A., which was part of Lucasfilm at that time, with George and designing new shots. The film is coming out in like 3 weeks. The film, we've already seen a cut of the movie, a print of the film, and the rap party's taking place, and we're doing more shots for the movie. And they wound up doing like two or three more shots just for the end of the film to wrap, take a little longer in wrapping it up. So you just never know. You can never let your guard down for a minute on these films, because anything can happen.
Otto, come back at once. You haven't finished with me yet. Get away from there. Otto, come back at once. You haven't finished with me yet. You don't know how to fix the hyperdrive. Chewbacca can do it. I'm standing here in pieces, and you're having delusions of grandeur. You did it!
Take off.
Good luck, Lando. When we find Jabba the Hutt and that bounty hunter, we'll contact you.
I'll meet you at the rendezvous point on Tatooine.
Princess, we'll find Han. I promise.
Chewie, I'll be waiting for your signal. Take care, you two.
May the Force be with you.
The thing that scared me as much as the actual technical aspect of the film was the fact that George said, you know, It's my money that's paying for this film.
I think you must be aware of the economics of the business. Being sloppy can cost $1 million. Not doing your homework can cost $1 million. Being wasteful can cost $2 or $3 million. The exhibitors tell me, the ones who show the films, that there's no surefire success. The distributors say there certainly is no surefire success. The producers have long since told me there's no surefire success.
It's very doubtful that it will equal the intensity of the impact. I think it's sort of all blown out in that one big one. And all the others that come along, whether it's in our series or anything to do with fantasy or science fiction, will never be that big. But I think this is the one. This is the one that people are going to look at and say either terrific, when's the next one, or nice try, too bad you didn't make it.
Some people call it science fiction. I don't even consider it science fiction. I consider it a fairy tale. In science fiction, you're very concerned about leaving a spaceship on a planet because there may not be oxygen, or the gravitational force is not the same as on Earth, or not what your body's adjusted to. And so you must take all that into consideration, or it's considered very poor science fiction. It's fairy tale. That's the environment. That's the context. But you can literally do anything. And if I believe it while I'm doing it, the audience tends to believe it too. So that's a fairy tale. We'll be right back.